Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 328, stanzas 1 through 4. Thou art my portion, Lord. Thy words I ever heed, and with all my heart thy grace I seek, and thy promises I plead. 1 through 4 of 328.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Exodus chapter 24. And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord, and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice, and said, All the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took a half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, All that the Lord hath said will we do, and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God, and did eat and drink. And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, and that thou mayest teach them. And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, Tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them. And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the glory covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. So far the reading of God's holy word. We will now read the form for the administration of holy baptism, which you can find on page 55 or 126 in the back of your Psalter. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God, except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us and that he doth wash us in his blood and from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely in the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that we trust in Him and love Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, and that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism. For as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ. As God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Since then, baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore, infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, and when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O almighty and eternal God, and thou who hast according to thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and has led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children and incorporate them by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with him into his death, and be raised with him in newness of life, and that they may daily follow him, joyfully bearing their cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may, with a comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter number 48, stanzas 7 and 8, both rich and poor, both bond and free, shall worship him with bended knee, and children's children shall proclaim the glorious honor of his name. 7 and 8 of Psalter 48. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it then may be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, and whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. Arjan Janssen? Mr. and Mrs. Willem van Herk? Mr. and Mrs. Peter Wessels? Mr. and Mrs. Leon Vanee? Mr. and Mrs. Willard Munce? Mr. and Mrs. David Arnoldusen? Dear parents, we have read here out of Exodus chapter 24, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. Thus we see that there were just a privileged few who were permitted by the Lord to make an approach unto him. That is, in his sovereign good pleasure. Man has nothing to say of this. When the Lord will keep the entire congregation behind, and he will say that Aaron and his sons and 70 of the elders shall approach, and then there is no man that can say to him, what doest thou? And that is also that sovereignty of God that we may witness in this day, when you bring your children here, when we may gather, and the Lord, he makes so many persons in this world to stand so afar off. And then there is nothing in us or our children that makes us to differ, but it is only the good pleasure of the Lord. And that is so also with his own elect, that out of that number he is calling forth those who are truly his own. And also of this we have nothing to say to the sovereignty of God. And what does he say now to these? He says that they are to draw near, come up unto the Lord. What a wonder that that is. When in that garden we see that man has had to leave the communion of God, and now the Lord, he is saying to these that they are permitted to draw near, to draw near unto God. Baptism, that does not bring your children into the covenant. But the fact that this your child was born in your household, whom the Lord does give to come Sabbath after Sabbath under his word, the fact that the Lord gives that this your child may have the triune name of God placed upon their forehead, and then the Lord, he brings your child near. And now what a wonder that this is, when the Lord is choosing, and when the Lord is making a difference, and when he says to us and to our seed that we are permitted to come close. And then how is it when we are coming near? Because on one side they may ascend partway up that mountain, and on the other side, then we see that it was only Moses as a type of the Lord Jesus who may approach into the presence of the Lord. But we see the rest as they are drawing near. Then on the other side, they have to stay afar off. That they are called, we read, to worship afar off. Thus, they are called to stand in awe of God as they are drawing near. And we hope, parents, we have heard what you have promised, and we, as parents, feel over and over the great impossibility to fulfill these promises. But we hope that you may attempt to instill in your children that holy reverence in the worship of the Lord. Because to be casual in that worship that is not from the Lord. By Jeremiah, the Lord says that he will judge those who destroy and make his people to err through their lightness. May the Lord give us to instruct our children in that holiness of God, that they may receive a reverence in all that worship of him. And then what do we read? We read that they saw the God of Israel. And then it is remarkable, because you do not read what they saw. You do not read of any form. No, because God is a spirit. But then we read that they saw him. That means they felt his presence, that they were in his presence, and all that they could see was that place, as it were, that was under his feet. And that place that was under his feet, it says it was a paved work of sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. It is as if Moses is not able to say even what that place is that was under the feet of God. That the glory of God that was so great that man, he is not able to enter into these blessed mysteries. And so that people, they may draw near and they may see him. And what a wonder if now our children may be given by their parents to be brought from Sabbath to Sabbath. And when they may be given in that house of God to see him with an eye of faith, that the Lord may instruct our children, and that while they are still in this life, that they may come in their life to see God. But there is one more thing, and that is that we see two of these men, Nadab and Abihu, and they draw near, and they stand afar off, and they worship. And we all know what has later happened to these two men, that they have provoked the Lord, that they have offered strange fire, and that they were consumed by the Lord himself. Those that had drawn near, those that had worshipped. And thus we see what can become of us with our children. Oh, how awful now that shall be, when in this day we can draw near with our children and have that name placed upon their foreheads, and one day to forever perish. Oh, may we never, never rest ourselves upon our baptism and upon the baptism of our children. But may the Lord give to us a place on our knees at his footstool, that we and our children may receive the application, the fulfillment of that which they receive this day. We ask the congregation to sing Standing After Baptism, Psalter 425, Stanza 5. Hank Cornell, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Colin Joel, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Madeline Carey, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Evan Michael, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Andreas, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Danielle Emily, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing on this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism, we beseech thee, through the same Son of thy love, that thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they then may acknowledge thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify thee and thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, that thou may grant also to each one of us who may witness this sacrament again in this day, that we may stand in holy awe of thee, who hast made a difference where there is no difference, and who does bring us so near into and the external part of that covenant, O Lord, that we may never miss the substance of it, which, as we have heard, is so very precious, but we see not the preciousness thereof by nature, for our eyes are closed to our own wretchedness and to our own need. O Lord, open it unto us, that we may have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to understand, that thy word may be opened, and that we may become the guilty one, and that there may be place for the blood of thy dear Son. Oh, that we may feel the wretchedness and the corruption, the fountain of sin that is within, and that we may desire, that we may need to be cleansed by thee, that we may cry to thee with thy servant, wash me, and make me clean within, cleanse, oh, cleanse me from my sin. Lord, that it may in this afternoon hour be for the comfort of thy own children, that that eye of faith may be given to see thee for a moment in all the power of that blood that was shed upon that cursed tree, the power that is sufficient to cleanse from all sin, so that the people, they are appearing before thee without spot and without wrinkle. Lord, the righteousness of thy dear Son that is sufficient for each and every one of us. Oh, that there may not be one then that remains behind on that great day, having been a witness of this sacrament and also having heard thy word. Lord, bless the children and bless the youth of our congregation. Oh, give to them this day a solemnity in their soul, that they may go to their own places, and that they may acknowledge thee, that thou hast brought them near also, but that their cry may go out to thee, that they may not miss the blessing, that it may never testify against them. Lord, remember the parents, each one of them and us together, and the impossibility, oh, that thou may strengthen us together and make us faithful in that wherein we have promised, to bless the instruction that is given to our youth and to our children in our own school,
in our own homes, and in the church from week to week. Wilt thou give us faithfulness also, that thy Spirit may dwell amongst each and every one. Look on all the afflicted and sick, and all that are not able to gather with us in this day, also in this afternoon hour. Could it please thee to raise them up again? And wilt thou go before thy word and sacrament over the length and the breadth of this whole world? Lord, bless thy word. Send servants into thy vineyard, that thy word may continue, and that the sacrament may continue, even until thou dost come again, and thy footsteps can be heard. But, Lord, thou still givest us time. Oh, that thou may grant that over the length and breadth of the earth they may be brought in, even as we have sung together. Wilt thou go with us in this afternoon, when thy word is to be brought once more? Oh, help us, Lord. Wilt thou open it unto us once again? And that thou may be in our midst in mercy as one that serveth, forgiving and taking away and keeping us from all iniquity. We ask it in the name of thy dear Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 215. Stanzas 1, 4, 5, and 6. O come, my people, to my law. Attentively give ear, with willing heart and teachable, the words of wisdom hear. 1, 4, 5, and 6 of Psalter 215.
Congregation, we further ask your attention for Lord's Day 34, the first part. Lord's Day 34, the first part, questions 92 and 93. Question 92, what is the law of God? And we will read only the introduction at this time. From Exodus 20, verses 1 and 2, and God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Question 93, how are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables. The first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. In close connection with this, we wish to read once again verses 7 and 8 of Exodus 24, which we have read to you. Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord hath said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people, and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. So far, our Lord's Day and our text. And then we have no points in this afternoon, only a theme that is the giving of the law under the sprinkling of blood. The giving of the law under the sprinkling of blood. Thus, congregation, our Lord's Day that speaks about the law of God. What is the law of God? That is a law with which we are very familiar because we hear it read to us every Sabbath day. And our children and our youth, they learn it also from memory. But what is now that impression that lays in our heart concerning this law? Because that is not the law of men, but we read that it is the law of God. Do we ever have such an impression when we deal with this law, that it is the law of God? But that law of God, though we are so familiar, we would say, is that now something that we ought to consider in this afternoon? We have holy baptism, and we have heard how that holy baptism that is speaking about the gospel, that is speaking about the blood, that is speaking about forgiveness. How is it then that we can then speak about this afternoon the law of God? What connection has this then to holy baptism? The word law, congregation, that is used in the Bible in a number of different ways. Law. The law of the Lord. David said, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And then it was not only what we often consider to be law, but the entire word of God, which was the meditation of David. Thus, the word law, and that is sometimes used to refer to the entire word of God.
Sometimes the word law is used to refer to the moral law, and that is to the Ten Commandments. Sometimes the word law is used to refer to the civil laws of the children of Israel. There were many of them. We can read there was the law of leprosy, there was the law of the Nazarite, there was the law concerning uncleanness, for example, and many other such laws that had to do with the daily life of the children of Israel. Thus, the entire Word of God, or the moral law, or the civil law. Is there anything else, children? Yes, there is. There is also, you say, the ceremonial law. What is that? The ceremonial law, that is actually the gospel. It is called the law, but it is actually the gospel, is it not? It was a law wherein the children of Israel, they were to bring sacrifices, and it was the law wherein the priest had to receive them. And so this was a picture. It was a law that was in the Old Testament that was actually a shadow or a picture of the New Testament, speaking of those things that were to come. Yes, actually speaking of him that was to come. So sometimes that word law that is set over against the gospel, in this sense, actually, we said it is the gospel, but it is sometimes set over against the gospel. How can that be? Well, then it is set over against it in the sense that the gospel that is the full revelation, wherein the law of ceremonies, that was simply the shadows. Paul writes to the Galatians, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law." Thus, Paul, he speaks over against the Judaizers, those who would maintain that the sacrifices still had to be brought, and that that old way, the way of the Old Testament, still had to be followed, that man was still to be circumcised, that he was to keep the law. And thus Paul says, when you will want to walk in this way, then you must remember that if you will do the smallest, then you must do the entire thing. Thus the word law, moral law, civil law, ceremonial law. Is that all? That still is not all. Because sometimes that word law that is equated with the covenant of works. Thus, the word law that is referring to the old covenant, that is referring to a broken covenant. Paul says, the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. What does he mean? The law is not of faith. Well, he means the law as it was given under the old covenant, that law wherein the Lord had said to men in Adam, do this and thou shalt live. That was not of faith, but that was of works. But he calls it the law. Thus, the word law that is sometimes also being used actually for that old covenant. Then there is more. Sometimes the word law that is used for the curse of the law. Paul writes to the Romans, ye are not under the law, but under grace? Does he mean that they are not under the moral law? That cannot be. Because we hope to see later that that moral law that continues. We know that the Lord Jesus, when he came, placed himself under the law. Thus, it cannot be that he is referring to the moral law. But when he says you are not under the law, but under grace, then he says you are no longer under the curse of that law. Because what is grace over against it? That is looking upon those who are unworthy. That the blessings, they are granted to an unworthy one, one who has not kept that law. Thus, the whole Word of God, the moral law, the civil law, the ceremonial law, sometimes used for the covenant of works, sometimes used for the curse of the law. Thus, how necessary when we read in God's Word that we are reading the context of God's Word, not only to take a word out of God's Word, but what does this mean in its context? And thus, we must also do in this afternoon. Because we read how that the Lord gave the law unto Moses. Thus, what is that law that the Lord gave unto Moses? Well, that is, we can read, if you read it when you come home, we can read what is contained in it. That is the moral law. It was the civil laws, very many of them, and also the ceremonial law, how that they had to set up the tabernacle and the law of the priests, the sacred people, persons, places, etc. And what is this called in this chapter? It is called the Book of the Covenant. Thus, it is evident that the Lord has commanded Moses that he would write these laws down. He had to write them in a book in order that he may teach all of these laws unto the children of Israel. Is that also what our practice is, parents, with our children? Those laws are written and given unto us. But do we teach them also unto our children? But then we know that there was another writing. There was not only this book of the covenant, but there was a writing that was not written by Moses. And our children, they will know what that is. And who has written it? Moses, he had to bring something up the mountain. And on it, there was something written. You say, no, Moses did not write that, but God wrote it. It was written, we read, with the finger of God. And what was that? That was the moral law. Thus, that was a law that was written upon stone. Why? Because this law that would be different from the other laws. This law was to be everlasting. The civil laws, the ceremonial laws, they have today come to an end, although we can certainly learn so much from those laws. But the moral law, that will never come to an end. It will never end world without end. That is the moral law of God. There are people who believe that the law, that is the moral law now, there are people who believe that that moral law that has no place in the life of God's true church anymore.
And why not? Because they say that God's church that is now under, we read it in God's word, that it is now under the law of faith. That being true, of course, that does not mean that there is, that moral law has nothing to do with that true church anymore. It was written on a stone for a reason, that it may be everlasting. And we know how that our instructors have written our very precious Heidelberg Catechism, that is, in accordance to the experience of that true church. And we do not find that law only once in our Heidelberg Catechism, but we find that law twice, in two places, both in that part of misery and in that part of gratitude. Thus we read in Lord's Day 2, "Whence knowest thou thy misery? Out of the law of God." Thus that law, in that place of misery, that has a purpose. There is a function of that law that is to discover. Paul says, "I had not known sin, but by the law." Thus, in the first place, it is appearing in the beginning of the life of God's children. Then we read it again in our Lord's Day for today, Lord's Day 34, "What is the law of God?" And then considered, the Lord willing, from Lord's Day 34 to Lord's Day 44. Then we consider this law from a commandment to commandment, but that law that has now a different purpose. Thus it is appearing again in the life of God's church, but it is appearing for the second time in the way of gratitude. Thus there is much place. Much place given by our fathers in the Heidelberg Catechism for God's law. Why? Because there is also much place that law has in the life of the true church of God. You say under the covenant of grace that law has such a place? Can that be? Can we prove that out of God's word? Yes, certainly we can. Where can we prove that? We can prove that in that chapter that we have read, we can prove that at Sinai, there that law was given. And who are that people unto whom that law was given? That was not all the heathen and the Gentiles, no. That was not unto the Egyptians, no. But that law was given unto that people, and that the Lord had now delivered out of that land of Egypt, out of that land of bondage. We read that already in the introduction to that law, where the Lord says, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of bondage." Of whom are they a picture? They are a picture of God's true church. They are a picture of those who have been born again. They are a picture of those who are given a new life. They are a picture of those who are brought out of an old covenant, out of a broken covenant, and brought into a new covenant. Out of a covenant of works into a covenant of grace. And it is just to this people that law of God is given. And before this people, we read
that that book of the covenant is read. The book of the covenant. Is that then the book of the covenant of works? The book of the covenant of works, can that be? That is impossible. The Lord does not bring his people out and into a new covenant in order that he may send them back once again unto an old covenant. No. And yet, what was now in the foreground in the life of this people when they have stood before that mount? In the foreground in their life comes the law of God. In the foreground in their life comes the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord. Do you know what that is? For the commandments of the Lord, for the statutes of the Lord to come in the foreground in your life. We read Moses read this book of the covenant in the audience of the people. Did you ever hear it? Say we hear it every Sabbath day. Yes. But did you ever hear it? Did you ever hear it with new ears? Did you ever hear it as David heard it when he was sitting upon his throne? And when that law came to him and pointed him out directly, saying, "Thou art the man." Did we ever hear the law of God? That is the Lord's way. That is where the Lord begins. When the Lord is drawing his people out of that land of Egypt and taking them out from the dominion of Satan, bringing them and leading them under his own wings, then we see that he places the law before them. And not only is the Lord the same today as ever, but also the work of the Lord is the same. Also what he works in the hearts of his children, also little children. Because if the Lord will work in a little child, then we are going to see that same thing. And what do we read here that all these people say? Moses reads to them the book of the covenant. And what do that people say? They say, we read that two times, all that the Lord hath said we will do and be obedient. Where does that come from? Such a confession, beautiful confession. Where does that come from? That comes from two things. First, it comes from grace. Because it is the Lord who makes a willing people in the day of his power. And it is the Lord who draws the affections of that people unto himself. That they have a desire that they may keep that law of God. Why? Because it is his law. All that the Lord had said, we will do and be obedient. In the first place, that comes out of grace. In the second place, that confession comes out of ignorance. Ignorance of myself. Ignorance of my fall. Ignorance of my inability. What did the Lord Jesus say to Peter? The spirit indeed is willing, and the flesh is weak. That is what he did not understand. That is what he did not know. Thus, the answer of that people, all that the Lord had said we will do and be obedient. Do we know also such a confession? Do we know also such a desire? What is now the answer of the Lord upon that confession of the people? That confession that the Lord has placed in their heart, the desire that the Lord has given unto the people. What is the answer of the Lord? Well, you may read it. The answer is this. And Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people. That is the answer of the Lord. The people are ignorant, but the Lord knows what that people need. Behold, we read, the blood of the covenant, which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Was there a desire in the heart of the people? Was that desire placed in their heart by the Lord? Indeed. Will that desire be fulfilled? Indeed. Will they be reconciled again unto that God whom they have come to love? Indeed. But will it be by their obedience? Indeed not. Because the Lord knows what that people have become. And the Lord has provided for them another obedience. The Lord has provided for them another way. Do that people understand it? They didn't understand it. They don't learn everything in one day. But it is a people upon whom the blood of the covenant is sprinkled. That is, that it is a people that are taken upon the account of that mediator. And yes, that law that is given to that people, but that law is not given unto them in a broken covenant. And the Lord is not giving that law unto that people in order that he may expect it, that they may keep it for meriting that eternal and blessed communion. No, they are at the same time sprinkled. They are sprinkled with blood. Thus, it is for that people finished already. But from their own side, they can see nothing of this until it is revealed to them. Later, there is going to be a portion of that people for whom this sprinkling of the blood is going to be a great comfort. No, that is not going to be all the people. For many of them, that sprinkling of the blood, that is going to be nothing but an outward form, and it is going to remain so. But there is also going to be among them another people. There is going to be among them a people for whom that it becomes so impossible to be reconciled. And why? Because of that law. Because of the weakness of their flesh. Or has it ever become for us impossible to be reconciled? That we are not able to fulfill all that new desire in our soul that the Lord has placed there. Indeed, then we say we have said that in our life. Maybe that was many years ago in our life. All that the Lord has commanded, I will do. And what good intentions then we had. That we were going to depart from the ways of sin.
that we were going to leave that world behind us, that we were going to seek the Lord and we were going to serve Him with all our heart, our might, our strength.
And what has become of it?
What has become of all our good intentions?
What is the experience of the people? They are a great disappointment unto themselves. Congregation, the sprinkling of baptism that is so very, very precious. That sprinkling of baptism that is so full of great comfort. No, it is not so to all that receive it. For many of us, it remains a form. It remains a custom. We think never upon it that we have the name of a triune God upon our forehead. As we have read, our children, they do not yet understand these things. And for so many, it remains so. We never understand these things. Actually, we never receive those things. Why? Because those things are spiritual things, and we remain natural men and do not receive the things of the Spirit of God. And then those things, they will also one day testify against us. But congregation, what was the greatest wonder for Mephibosheth when he had to appear before his judge? What was for him the greatest wonder? The greatest wonder for him was that he was the son of Jonathan. That was for his salvation. He was the son of his first father. He was the son of Saul. And because he was the son of Saul, he had to die. Because he was the son of Saul, he was an enemy to the king. Because he was the son of Saul, the law testified against him. But who may now live? All the sons of Jonathan. They may live. And why may they live? Because there was a covenant. Because there was a covenant between David and Jonathan. And when that covenant was there, what happened to the law? What happened to the law that condemned him? Oh, when that covenant was there, now that law that stood on the side of Mephibosheth, that law was now for him. It was no longer against him. Not because of anything in himself, no. That has taken place so completely outside of himself. And that man knew it. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Congregation, were you ever included in that sprinkling of blood? No, we do not say then that you can keep that law no more than before. But what do we say? We say that when we may only be included in that blood, then that law that is coming on our side, then that law that is no longer condemning us, but that law that is actually justifying us, Behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. And then that law that is so completely stripped of its curse. And what remains? What remains? A law of love. In two parts, how are the commandments divided? Into two tables. The first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God. The second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. It is a law of worship. A law by which we may worship God. That first part, that is an immediate worship. A worship in our heart, a worship in our life. That we may love the Lord and we may love the Lord alone. And that we may forsake the world and every former friend and every idol. And that we may keep his statutes and his day and love his name. That is the first part. That we may worship him. The second part, that is, that we may worship him in a mediate way. Mediate. That is, through others. That is, how do we worship God? That is in love to my neighbor. To look for the welfare of my neighbor. His body, his soul. Outwardly. To preserve him. To preserve his life. To preserve his chastity. To preserve his name. To preserve his honor. And inwardly. To regulate all my affections toward my neighbor. And then always shortcomings. Always shortcomings. But do you know what is gone? What is gone? The curse is gone. The curse is gone. Only when we may be included in that blood. And what is left? Oh, then there is only grief. There is only grief from our side. Grief and desire. And waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for that time that it will be different. That there will be no more a weakness of the flesh. But that we may worship him. And then not afar off, no, but then to come into his immediate presence. Oh, eye hath not seen it, ear hath not heard it, but it is laid away. It is laid away. But congregation, it begins here, not hereafter. And there are those blessed marks that we may read of in God's word in our blessed catechism. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Is that now our heart and life? Amen. Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou forgive our many sins? They are against thy law, inwardly, outwardly, thought, word, and deed. Omission, commission, a sink of sin, and of corruption within and without, thou knowest, whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. One hope, one expectation, O sprinkle us. Sprinkle us, Lord, with that blood that thou hast shed. Oh, we only now need the application. Thou hast done it. Thou hast fulfilled it. May we not miss it now. Give us to seek it with all our heart,
And wilt thou go with us, bring us safely to our homes again, and keep us in the rest of this day, in thy house or in our homes. Go with us in the week to come, in all the labors of our hands. Remember those that will lead next Sabbath day, be on their right and on their left, and give faithfulness in coming up unto thy house. Remember us also where we hope to be, and each one of us in the labors of our hands. Wilt thou give meditation upon thy word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 444 stanzas 3 and 7. He spake to Moses from the midst of thunder. He brake the bonds of Israel asunder and showed to them his mighty works and ways. 3 and 7 of 444.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.